Just before we start, I'd like to give you a little update on what I am now calling my prophetic thumb, because God is speaking to me so much through what's going on with my hand. For those of you who are not aware of the saga, I'm now 8 weeks on from surgery to repair a damaged ligament, and it's slow going, but God is making a lot of comparisons for me between trying to get my hand to work again and us learning to be a church of Jesus disciples who are learning, hopefully, in the next weeks and months and years to make disciples in the totally natural way that Jesus intends us to. And something. So I now have a new thing on my hand. This is now a compression bandage, because apparently the swelling is impeding my recovery and my movement. And God is saying to me, you know, sometimes there are toxins, there are things in our lives which need flushing out and which need removing before we can actually learn to work again properly in for God. And I'm finding as well, I have to do exercises, but I also have to use my thumb, but I also have to not put too much pressure on it. It's taking a lot of thought to do what used to be just done without thinking. So if I don't think about using my thumb, I'm so used to protecting it, I automatically find myself now doing everything with my left hand, which is bizarre. And I have to really think about, yes, I need to use my right hand now. And the other thing is, I have to think about how I use my right hand with everything I do, because otherwise I drop things, for a start. But also, I need to judge how much I do and what I do so that I don't actually damage my thumb again. So it's a bit like, you know, with these discipleship habits that we're bringing to the church and we're saying, let's try and build these into our lives, it's going to take a lot of thought for us, because it's a new way of living for some of us. Maybe for some of us it isn't, and they were just tweaking little things. For some of us who are unused to doing some of these things, it's going to feel like a lot of effort and just thinking about how am I doing stuff, and oh, I shouldn't have done that, should I? That would have been better to do it another way. So there's that. The other thing I'm learning is that pain is not necessarily the same thing as damage. So Carol's word there about not moving on too quickly from the tough places, I'm sure that's to do with the things that we go through in life which feel very painful. I think it could also apply to learning to live our lives differently so that we're oriented towards making disciples for Jesus. Because the physio, when she was pushing my thumb so hard she made tears roll down my face, she was trying to demonstrate, although it was painful, it was not damaging. And pain cannot just be the pain that comes from being damaged. Pain can also be the pain of trying to make something work in a way that it's not used to working. It might feel very uncomfortable, but that's okay. And in fact, I have to make my thumb feel very uncomfortable and push through that in order to see change happen in my thumb. And the final thing that God's been teaching me just this week is that small gains are worth celebrating. The other day, I took a pair of scissors in my right hand and I cut off the top of a plastic pack of frozen fruit. And I did a little woo! Because that's a gain. It's a very small gain. But all these little gains will add up in the long run to being able to do amazing things with my hand again. So God is teaching me lots of things. I would say, if it all feels a bit alien, what we're doing in life groups, what we're looking at, stick with it, even if it feels uncomfortable, because God will do something through us long term. So that's an update on my thumb and what God's saying to me. But what I'd really like to do is today is share a little bit about why we have chosen, Karen and I, to bring this particular approach to us becoming a church who make disciples, these bless habits. I was really pleased to hear that one life group the other week, when they were talking about bless, said, well, let's think about what is our why. why do we want to do this? Why do we want to be about this? Where is this coming from in our hearts? And for Karen and I, there is a reason why I think we've explained why we think we need to be making disciples. Go back and look the last couple of weeks if you haven't heard that. But what we need to explain is why like this? There are lots of ways we could set about this. This is not a panacea. This is not a magic bullet. There are lots of ways, but there are some particular reasons why we've chosen this way for us as a church to move forward. So I've got three reasons this morning. Karen is going to get involved in the second one. It's quite difficult to get her up here in front of everybody, but she's kindly agreed to push herself out of her comfort zone this morning and share something. That'll come a bit later. So the first reasons that for why we've chosen this approach of blessing the world is because it's good theology. Now, don't groan, those of you who don't like theology books. We are all theologians, it has been said, because we all have certain beliefs about God and implications from that. So whether you know it or not, you are a theologian. And we need to go back to what the Bible says and who God is for the source of everything we do. So, the theological reasons are that all through God's word, all through the story of God's relationship with people, is the fact that he wants to bless. He wants to bless the world. He is determined to bless the world. And he's determined that the world will be blessed through his people who have been blessed. That is what he's done since creation, and he will continue doing it till the end. And I want to just go back as an example to the life of Abraham this morning. We all know Abraham, if we've read Genesis, as a man of great faith. The New Testament holds him up as an example of great faith. But in fact, the first time God promised to bless Abraham, it was before he had exercised any faith or obeyed God in anything, as far as we know. In Genesis 12, it says, "The Lord had said to Abraham, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you.'" That was God's decision to choose to bless Abraham and bless people through him. He chose in his goodness to give Abraham a family, to provide for him, extravagantly actually, to give him protection, to give him a home, to give him a direction in life, and a unique relationship with himself. Some of the promises took a long time to come to fulfillment, and some of them Abraham never saw fulfilled in his lifetime. They were fulfilled much later, centuries later, but God fulfilled his promises. And God's promise that he would be a blessing was fulfilled through the future generations of Abraham's family, who became the nation of Israel, and the fact that Jesus and everything that he has brought to bless the world was a direct descendant of Abraham. But I think we sometimes miss the fact, I certainly have sometimes missed it, that Abraham's security in his relationship with the Lord, his faith in the Lord, his trust in the Lord, also made him the kind of person who could bless others in his own lifetime. You look at the kind of person Abraham was. He certainly wasn't perfect. He had his Achilles heels, but he was able to be honest, generous in his dealing with other people. He was hospitable and he was a peacemaker, but he was also able to be brave and loyal when he needed to be, and he honored God by giving back out of what he was given. He was blessed and he blessed others from it. So I think God has always decided that his tactic for the world, if you like, is to bless the world. And we have been such grateful recipients, if we know him, haven't we, of that unwavering commitment that he has to his creation to bless it. In fact, by faith in the redeeming work of Christ on the cross, we have inherited both the blessings and the calling of Abraham. The New Testament makes that direct line of relationship from Abraham to us. When in Galatians 3, Paul says, "So also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness." Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. And you're right, David, to pray for faith. It's the beginning of it all, isn't it? You know, we are blessed. We are blessed incredibly. And if we can keep bringing to mind how much blessing God has poured into our lives and for eternity, and if we live in the peace and the acceptance and the security and the significance of being a child of our loving Heavenly Father, then we will become more like Him in the way that we bless others. Like the sinful woman who anointed Jesus' feet with her own tears and kisses, the more we are aware of the grace of God, the more we will love Him and we will want others to know that love. So it starts with being blessed if we want to bless others. You know, this current mortal life that we live, it may be short and feeble compared to our eternal life that is ahead of us. And this world may only be fragile and temporary compared to the renewed heaven and earth together that God will one day establish. But as God's people, we are called to bless the places where we live as exiles and foreigners, as Peter says. Like the Israelites in Babylon, we are to work for the good of the place that we live in, while remembering that our exile is only for a while and God will bring us home. It says that in Jeremiah 29. So the blessed discipleship habits are quite simple in one way. They're nothing new. But if we practice them daily until they do become a natural part of who we are and how we live, then they will help us to bless people as Jesus showed us, in a holistic way, practically, emotionally, and spiritually. For those of you who haven't really grasped them yet, here's a little reminder of what they are. It spells out the word bless, you'll notice, with a little bit of a fudge for the begin with prayer one. But the idea is that we begin with prayer. We pray for ourselves, to have more of God's compassion and love for people growing in us, and to see people in front of us the way that God sees them. And we pray for particular people in our life on a regular basis so that God can prompt us for how we can bless them. And that's vital. That's our vital starting place, so that we are going to be directed and prompted by God, not by duty, not by guilt, not by pressure from anybody else, but by our loving Heavenly Father. Then the idea is that we listen to people, begin to really listen. It's not just a quick hi, how are you doing, your hedge is looking good, whatever it is that we do with the neighbours. It's a matter of actually showing a real interest in people and listening to what's going on in their lives. It's a gift of attention and interest, which is really precious. It helps us to understand people, to love them better, to know how to serve them. And it also earns us the right to be listened to. When we start listening to people, we can then actually practice hospitality and eat with them. And again, eating with people and spending time with them is an act of trust, welcoming them into our homes and into our lives. And it shows acceptance, it shows value. It can deepen superficial relationships to ones that are really deep. And then we, when we really know people and understand them and have begun to love them, we can start to serve them in ways that might seem a bit over the top, maybe, to our very individualistic, self-sufficient culture. And naturally, we all want to put limits on what is reasonable in terms of serving people. I was reading the Good Samaritan parable the other day and realized that Jesus told it because the teacher of the law, who started out in a kind of rabbinic discussion with him, actually, it became quite personal for this teacher of the law. And it says he asked, well, who is my neighbor that I should be loving? Because he wanted to justify himself. Jesus realized that what he did, what he was trying to do, was he was trying to circumscribe his life so that there were limits to how many people he needed to actually love. And that's why he tells him the parable of the Good Samaritan. And what he's saying to him is, there are no limits. We are to love even those who would despise us and refuse our help unless they were in no fit state to do so, like the Good Samaritan half dead on the side, and like the Jewish man on the side of the road half dead. But unreasonable love invites questions. And that leads us to the fifth and really vital one in the blessed habits. We have to learn to get over our reluctance to share Jesus with people. We have to get over our fear of rejection. We have to share with them the greatest gift of all. People can't argue with your experience. In this day and age, nobody can argue with anybody else's experience. It's a cultural value. But we just have to be ready to share with the friends that we've made and loved. When God answers our prayers for them and they become spiritually hungry or curious or desperate, we just have to be ready to share what we know of who God is and how good and beautiful he is. The timing, the method, it's all up to him. We just have to learn to listen to him, to pray and obey. That's it. That's the five habits. They're not rocket science, but they're not easy. They're not easy for us to shift our attention from ourselves to other people, are they? But God asks us to be blessed, to be filled up, and to be able to bless others. So the second set of reasons why we've come to this place of believing that we should start by blessing people is from experience. I've just said you can't argue with experience. Karen and I really believe that God has led us personally, but us as a church, to this place. We've read and heard many stories from other people that God is leading them in this direction too. The Bless book itself, which I thoroughly recommend, it's like gold dust at the moment, but you might be able to get a Kindle version or the odd version when it pops up on the internet, written by Dave and John Ferguson. Well, Dave Ferguson tells a story of how when he was pondering over this issue of how do we go about making disciples in a way that actually makes a difference, he read an email that was sent to him of a study of two groups of missionaries who went to Thailand. One group set out to convert people with telling them the gospel. The other group decided that their way of doing mission would be to bless the communities that they were living in. And at the end of 2 years, the study found that the converters, if you like, had seen one person come to faith, praise the Lord, and the blessers saw not only significant transformation in the well-being of that community, but they also saw 48 people become Christians. Blessing others is not a cop-out from doing mission. It is the way we fulfill Jesus' mission, because people need to both see and hear the good news. Now, down to our own experiences, Karen and I. For Karen and me, seems absolutely the right place for us to begin because of what God has been teaching us over the last few years, separately and more recently together as we've started doing a role together at serving the church. So I'm going to ask Karen now to come up and just tell us a little bit about some of the things God's been teaching her about blessing.
Well, I'm here. So as Erica said, I'm just going to share a bit of my journey, really, with Bless so far. So why Bless for me? Well, as some of you know, I've been part of a group over the past few years involved in the Admirals community, and we've been doing outreach to the Admirals community. And we did messy church, we've done community barbecues, we've done practical helps with people. We were sowing seeds and doing our best to share the gospel. But we didn't see much fruit. And in fact, I think we only saw a couple of people come to faith and be baptized. And so over the past few years, we haven't been able to do any of this kind of thing. And I've been reflecting on that and what we did through Admirals. And I just felt the Lord's been challenging me, really, to maybe move away from event-based programs and to think about how we can do things differently. I think a new thing. He kept putting the word, a new thing, in me. I felt just that he was prompting me to do that. We were busy, we were running around, we were putting great events on, we saw lots of people come, but we were struggling to build really good, meaningful relationships with people because we were busy. We just didn't have the time to sit, to listen, to talk to people and get to know them. And so that was a bit of a challenge. And for me, just praying about that, and as Erica and I have been exploring this blessed sort of stuff, it felt to me like this was perhaps the way to go. And what have I learned? What am I still learning from some of this? So there are a couple of ladies who lived on Admirals, and they invited me round to spend a bit of time with them. Wednesday night was their social night. It's when they got together to eat cake and watch Coronation Street. I'm not a Coronation Street fan, but I went along and just spent, a few times I went along, spent a bit of time with them. But I didn't carry on. And something stuck with me. One of the ladies had said to me, she said, "I'm not interested in God, but I am interested in you." And that kind of made me think, had I carried on and with that relationship and gone and spent time with those guys, would she have eventually seen something of God in me? I don't know. Hopefully. And as I shared my life and my story with her, with them, would they have seen God at work in me? And so just something that I'm learning about, that actually I should have intentionally carried on and spent time with them. I'm also learning that it's really important to pray and to pray about the opportunities to bless those that God puts in my path. Because when I do that, he does. And another story, we started looking at this blessed stuff, and then lockdown happened and we were all sent home. And it was like, oh, what do we do now then, Lord? we set up a WhatsApp group in our street, in our local street. And it was really good. All the neighbours joined in and responded, with requests or offers of help. We were shopping for one another, picking up prescriptions. We got a coffee van round when we were allowed to do that. And we just blessed our neighbours with nice coffee and cake from the coffee van. And it was just really good to see that community, that local community coming together and being able to, just bless those people. And it made me reflect on the little things that we do. And sometimes you think it's just a small thing when you bless someone, But for those people, it can be a huge thing. You know, one of the ladies in the street, she was really anxious during this lockdown period, and she would message a lot about all her anxieties. Anyway, long story, but she... Do you remember when eggs disappeared off the shelf during lockdown? And then you just couldn't get eggs, could you, and flour and all that kind of stuff. She was desperate for some eggs, and I'd got eggs. So I popped round, put them on the doorstep, rang the bell, stepped back, as you had to do back then, and just said, here's some eggs for you. And she just burst into tears and just shared how anxious she'd been. And I got that opportunity just to chat with her, and she let me pray with her. And that was brilliant. Just a small thing that I could do, but it was massive for her. And I'd really hoped, you know, that this would carry on in our local street. But life went back to normal, didn't it? And the reality was everybody got busy again and the neighbours all disappeared back into their houses and off to work and all of that kind of thing. But it made me reflect that actually when I do see them, now I've got to know them a little bit, just to be mindful to pray and say, okay, Lord, how can I bless my neighbours? What can I do for them? So that's kind of something that I'm learning and continuing to sort of explore. I'm also trying to learn, and I think God's shown me that it's good to spend time with God asking him who you should bless. And when I did that, it was amazing. So I have this story. I used to make an effort to go for a walk around our local estate. And I was walking one day and just chattering away to God, you know, as you do. And I felt him say to me, you need to do something for someone I knew. And I'm like... Really, Lord? You really want me to do that for that person? And I'm mutting her away to God. And anyway, I was carried on walking down the path and looked up, and the actual person that God had told me to do something for was coming towards me on this walk. And it was just like God said, there you go. There's your opportunity to bless. So that was like, oh, wow, okay. So it's just remembering, isn't it, to ask God who it is he wants you to bless and then taking that opportunity when it arises. I'm also learning when I spend time with God. I've done that bit. I'll move on. So the other thing, yeah, is about reflecting on my day. So it's something I've been trying to do since we've been looking at these bless habits. You know, what are the good things that God's done, and what are the opportunities that I've perhaps missed, so that these things, you know, I can just miss opportunities. And I've had the same hairdresser for years and years. She didn't do this to me. That was the whole of the story. You can ask me about that later. but I've had the same hairdresser I normally go to for years. And over that time, you know, we've shared our lives together. We've shared stories, what's going on in our families, all of that kind of thing. And as I've become more aware of these blessed habits, we were chatting about some really significant stuff that had happened. And she asked me a question. And in that moment, it was the perfect opportunity for me to share my faith. And I fluffed it. I completely fluffed it. And I was kicking myself, sat in the chair, kicking myself inside, going, oh, you should have said something, you know. But, you know, God was gracious, actually, in that moment, because we carried on the conversation and the opportunity came up again and I took it because I was conscious that I'd missed the opportunity first time. So, yeah, so I think he's been showing me about reflecting on my day and where can I take these opportunities? When do I miss these opportunities? And what's God saying to me going forward? I mean, this is a journey that we're on, and we hope you guys are going to be on with us as well. But for me, I think as I continue on my journey, I think God's saying, prayer is key in it all. I need to keep remembering to pray for the opportunities to bless the people God's put on my heart and the people that he's put in front of me. I think he's challenging me to think about life and how I do life and creating space to bless. Life's busy, isn't it? And I know for myself, I can get overwhelmed. You know, you've got work, you've got to find time to rest, to play. You've got relationships in church, you've got relationships outside of church, families, and everything can crowd in on us. And for me, that can happen. So where's that space to just spend time with people and listen to people and do these blessed habits with them. So I think that's something God's challenging me about. And just as an aside, we are going to be putting on a morning later on in the month for anyone who wants to come along and look at that and explore that a bit together about how we can balance life and make space for this. So watch out for the date. We'll put that out there for you guys. Another thing is, God's challenging me with is not to give up on people. This takes time. Relationships, it's time, isn't it? We have to put time in. Mike and I have got some really good friends. We've known them for years and years and years. And they've never really shown an interest in church. They've asked the odd question here or there. But then they did actually ask about joining in with something. And we were like, oh, okay, this is good. But they backtracked really quickly and gave up. And it's like, oh, at what point do you, you know, part of me was like, do I just give up on them? And somebody challenged me, it was Erica actually, challenged me to keep praying for them. And so I have been praying for these guys. And, you know, we've had opportunity just recently to bless them again. And we've had a meal with them. We've been sharing a bit more with them. And you know, bit by bit, I think it's that we've got to allow time for God to work. So he's showing me that as well. And I'm realizing that I don't have to be there for everyone. I just need to listen to God and ask him, okay, Lord, who is it that you want me to bless today? Yeah. I've been on this journey a little while now. I'm not an expert at all. You know, if you want to come and talk to me, please feel free. Come and ask me any questions and I'll be quite happy to chat with you, share any stories with you. But I heard this saying, I listened to a speaker yesterday, and he said this: if you sow a thought, you reap an action. If you sow an action, you reap a habit. If you sow a habit, you reap a character. If you sow a character, you reap a destiny. And it just made me think, what's my destiny with Bless? And I think it's that I want to help others experience God's love and have a relationship with him.
Thank you, Karen. She's good, isn't she, really? I'm going to cut short a little bit this section because we're going to run out of time, I think. I was going to talk a little bit about my experiences on the Causton estate. I'm part of a missional community there for nearly 10 years. So if you want to know anything about that and what I learned through that, then please come and talk to me afterwards. Learned a lot of things there. Karen and I, since we started our role and started really thinking about discipleship, we've really seen and heard Christians all over the world talking about the need to do things differently in a different age, and especially to remind us about what Jesus did. He started a movement of disciples discipling other people one-to-one or in small groups in their homes, as well as meeting in the temple. He didn't found an institution. And we've been really struck by disciple-making movements in places like northern India, where they put very simple discipleship tools into people's hands and say, go and do this, and teach other people to do this when they come to know Jesus. So we really think, we've looked at a few different things. Last year, we went on an online conference and we saw Bless, and we thought, this is it. This is the thing for Beck. We've been waiting patiently for the right time to introduce it, and we now believe God is saying, this is the time. I know you don't always see things going on behind the scenes, but this is something that God has been sowing into our hearts and into what I believe is the leadership's heart for many years now, and God is saying to go for it now. So for the final reasons why we believe Bless is the way forward are really selfish. Because blessing multiplies, and it multiplies back on the person who's giving it. Is there any such thing as a selfless act? Now, if you were a Friends fan, You will remember the episode where those great philosophers, Joey and Phoebe, were discussing this. Joey got the opportunity to present a charity telethon on TV, and he was saying, yes, I just wanted to do something good for people, and actually it'll help my profile and give me more exposure for my acting career. And so Phoebe was saying, that isn't selfless at all. That is selfish, because you're going to get something out of it. And he gets all hot and bothered and says, well, there isn't any such thing as a selfless act, because anything you do for anybody else, it'll make you feel good, so you're getting something out of it. And that flummoxed her for a while, and yes, it was a big issue. But of course, Joey was making the classic error of critical thinking of confusing motive with results. So in other words, just because you gain pleasure from blessing someone, it doesn't mean that you don't genuinely love them and want the best for them, and that's the reason why you're blessing them. But it is a wonderful result that when you bless others, you do get blessed. God tells us to rejoice with those who rejoice. He rejoices over us like a shepherd who finds and rescues his lost sheep. It brought him great pleasure to choose to adopt us into his family and reveal his plans for us. The angels rejoice in heaven over every sinner who repents. And Jesus endured the shame and pain of the cross for the joy set before him. It's okay to be blessed when we bless others, because we're all connected and should share in the joy of someone who receives blessing. God, I think, is looking for an explosion of joy, contagious joy, as we begin to bless others more and see them come into a transformative relationship with him. I wanted to tell you one story that my son told me. My younger son, Johnny, heads up Kingsbridge Youth for Christ down in Devon. And every Friday night, and other times as well, they take the Youth for Christ bus down to the quayside in Kingsbridge. He was there on Friday night in the pouring rain. And just hang out there to talk to teenagers who have nothing to do in rural Devon. Now, one teenager used to come along all the time, a really shy, painfully shy boy, who hardly spoke. It was really difficult to get any kind of conversation going with him, but he kept turning up, and Johnny kept trying. And the church knew his family because they do something called a soul food exercise in the holidays, often where they provide meals for families who are struggling in Kingsbridge. And his family, his mum, his single mum, were one of those families that they had connections with through the soul food program. So this year, Johnny invited this young lad to a Christian youth festival called Limitless, a bit like Soul Survivor, if you know that, along with his younger brother. Now, his mum was very happy for them to go, none of them Christians. His mum was very happy for him to go, but she knew because of Ben's painful shyness and, you know, difficulty in getting on with people, that he might find it difficult. So she said, well, can I go as a helper, as a leader, so that I can just be there in case there are issues or problems? So the church said yes, and invited her to the prayer breakfast that the church was holding for the young people who were going to Limitless. As soon as she walked into the church, she said she felt something different there. And when people prayed for her as a leader going to the Limitless Festival, she burst into tears. At the festival, both her boys became Christians. And she went forward even before they'd finished the altar call the next night to give her life to the Lord. And when Ben came back from... Now, Johnny hadn't been able to actually go to this festival because he'd just had another baby. Well, his wife had another baby. So he'd reluctantly said, yeah, I need to be at home, really. But when the lad came back, Johnny said he was absolutely transformed. He was glowing from the inside out, and outgoing and chatty and able to really enjoy life. You could see it all over his face. Johnny said it was like a flower just with the petals opening up. And Ben said to Johnny, do you know, it feels like I've been born again. And Johnny said, who told you that phrase? And he said, no one, it's just how it feels. It just feels like I've got a whole new life. And he's now helping with the team. They've trained him up. They've given him his own Youth for Christ t-shirt. And they're all going on with the Lord. And his mum has been healed of the back pain she's had ever since she gave birth to her son. God is doing such great things. That's joyful. And the church is rejoicing and discipling those people, that family. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Now, I'm not jealous of that. I'm jealous for that. Don't we want some of that? Don't we want some of that joy? If it's selfish to be a part of that, then I'm happy to be called selfish. So let's build these stories. Let's share them. Let's enjoy them. Let's multiply the joy and the blessing. Let's praise God together, and let's keep building faith in this place as we see God doing things. I just want to finish by saying that actually with all these reasons Karen and I have got, actually the only reason we really need is that Jesus tells us to do it. I was reading these very familiar verses from Matthew 5 again recently. And your illustration about light, David, is so relevant here. How many times have we read these verses? Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. It struck me for the very first time that that command of Jesus implies that we will have close relationships with the people we are blessing. Because if we just do nice things for people at a distance or through a program, that's good. That's good in itself. It's a good enough thing to do to bless people like that. But unless we know them and they know us, they know that it's our love of God because of the love that he's had for us that is making us do these things, they won't be able to give glory to God, will they? The only reason they will glorify God is if they see that he's changed us and made us want to do these things. But we have to start to believe that God can do this through us. We know what we're like. God knows what we're like. But he still wants to use us. So do you believe it?
Yes.
Good. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. So, Beck, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Be blessed and go and bless. Amen.